Okay, so welcome to Norwood Free Methodist Church. Welcome to watching online. We find ourselves in a holiday today. And if you know anything about me, I don't know the holidays very well. I didn't grow up in church. I don't do churchy very well. But I do know what Palm Sunday is. And that's today, Palm Sunday. But what we're going to do today is not your typical Palm Sunday thing. Because I tend to see Jesus in the Bible talking to farmers about farming. And fishermen about fish. In other words, stuff that mattered to their everyday lives. So I don't just want to do a history lesson today and go, okay, that happened. Have a good week. Because it's big for us in our lives. So I'm going to share some thoughts about Palm Sunday because I think Palm Sunday actually is a huge thing about today. I believe there are warnings in Palm Sunday. I believe there's prophecy in Palm Sunday. So come with me to the journey of Palm Sunday. Let's look at a picture to start. I think you guys can see that online. Yeah. Okay, so what you got here is an artist's rendition about what happened. Okay? You see Jesus on top of that servant's animal. Are those angels? Are they children? Like, why are they dressed that way? There's a toga party down the road. I don't know what's happening. There's lots of misinformation is what I'm getting at about Palm Sunday. Yeah, I assume the one in the blues, Mary, even though she's poor and blue is a specific dye that costs a lot of money at the time, and you guys aren't nerds like myself, but that's the scene, right? Well, let's put that out of our minds for a minute. I showed it to you to tempt you, Mike. Now we're going to look at the actual Word of God, if we can. Brian? Luke was a physician at the time of Jesus, okay? This is not a first-hand account. This is like a second-hand account, but he wrote this at the time of Christ, and this is what he wrote. As he, the Lord Jesus, approached Bethphage and Bethany, at the hill called Mount of Olives, these are places, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you're going to find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here to me. If anyone asks you, hey, why are you untying my colt? Tell them, the Lord needs it. Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said, hey, why are you taking my colt? Just like he said. And they replied, the Lord needs it. They brought it to Jesus, but they threw their cloaks on the colt. They didn't have saddles. Hello. And put Jesus on it. And as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. They weren't just meeting Jesus. They had been following him. Blessed is he. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now that's Luke's account. Notice there were no palms in that. And a couple of the other gospels, or another one of the gospels, it talks about palms. What a strange thing, huh, Maddie? Laying your coat down for a little donkey. Why a donkey? Why a baby donkey? Why do they say what they said? And sometimes we just read over it. Palm Sunday, y'all. Let's go to Ponderosa. I like Ponderosa. I like Ponderosa. But I want to show you something. Now, follow me down a really weird trail, guys. This is going to look like class, and I'm not going to do what I did last year. I'm not going to do the math. But this is so much bigger than you may understand, okay? This was forecast, predestined, predicted hundreds, if not thousands of years before. This was a big deal to you and me. So let's journey back, shall we? To the book of Daniel. You may know him from such hits as Daniel in the Lion's Den, right? Or his pals, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. Here's the thing. Daniel was also a prophet. Daniel had the Holy Spirit, much like all of you folks who have decided to believe in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Spirit chose to speak things to Daniel that no one could have known. And what I'm about to show you, if you let it, will blow your mind. Honestly, okay? Daniel was written about 600 BC, 600 years before the birth of Christ, 600 years BC, okay? The book of Daniel is actually the most authenticated book, one of the most authenticated books of the Old Testament, historically and archaeologically. It truly is. Like, even secular people, Daniel was very authenticated. Why? Because he was immersed in a culture that kept really good records. Babylon. Understand? This isn't all like, I gotta believe Daniel lived. No. Historians will tell you Daniel lived. Faith is things you need to believe without seeing. You can look through genealogy. Oh, yeah, Daniel lived. So this is not a leap of faith by any means, nor is this book, okay? And that's important because what's about to be said is crazy. The book of Daniel was in a document form way before Christ was born. And understand this, guys. There was the Old Testament was floating around at the time of Christ Jesus in Greek, okay? What I'm trying to say is we all think the Bible happened in what? The 60s or something? No. The entire Old Testament, people had it at the time of Christ Jesus. So when he's making references, they all go, oh yeah, I know that. Because of the Septuagint. Because Alexander the Great wanted everything to be unified under the Greek language. So when Jesus says, blah, 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 they go, oh, that's from. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's important to know for what we're about to do here. But you want to see something cocoa nuts? You guys, this is absolutely crazy, what I'm about to show you. You know the story of Daniel. Well, all of a sudden, the angel Gabriel. Guys, there's only three angels mentioned in the Bible. If you pick up books that talk about other angels, you're looking at a different system. The angel Gabriel, every single time he shows up, he talks about Messiah. Some people say he's a warrior. No, he's not. At least not in the Bible. In the Bible, Gabriel seems to be the herald of the Messiah. Everything he ever does has to do with Messiah. Well, we're about to see in Daniel. This is no different. Let's do it. Daniel 9, 24 through 27, also called the 70 weeks of Daniel. This could twist you up if you look at it by yourself. So let's do this together. While I was in prayer, says Daniel, Gabriel, he says the man, that's Hebrew poetry, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight, angels fly, about the time of the evening sacrifice. He said to me, Daniel, I've now come to give you insight and understanding. Now this is interesting, and this is, you know, has to do with you too. As soon as you began to pray, my answer was given. As soon as you began to pray, people, God heard you and the answer was coming. However, the answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. I'm off, Dave. Therefore, consider the message and understand the vision. This is not where he tells him he was held up. Let's go to the next one. Okay, here we go. Ready? This makes no sense until we do this together. 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon the holy city of Jerusalem to finish this transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for inward sin and to bring an everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Holy. And is a sequence of events. Daniel just said, he said, something's coming. 70 weeks are determined to do this, an end of sins, reconciliation for your inward sin, bring an everlasting good standing with God, seal up all the vision and prophecy you've known before, and anoint the most holy. Boom, 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 boom. 70 weeks. And you and I read it and go, okay, what's that mean? 70 weeks from now, 4, 8, how many months? No. Do I have another Daniel or no? Okay. No, and therefore understand that's a command. That's not a question. Mike, this is important for Palm Sunday. No, and therefore understand I'm not asking you. No, and therefore understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto when you meet Messiah, it's 7 weeks and 62 weeks. We're going to stop right there. I should have brought the whiteboard out and I didn't. An angel shows up to Daniel 600 years before the time of Christ and says, listen, as soon as Jerusalem, these two sections of Jerusalem, as soon as the decree comes out to build it, there's going to be this amount of time and then you're going to meet Messiah. And the Hebrew here, or Greek, is Mashiach Nagid, Messiah the King. So he just gave him a timeline. How many people know that if a prophet gives you a timeline, that is so risky, because if he's off by even a day, he's not a prophet of God, right? Ready down the rabbit hole, Alice? You want to do this? Week did not mean week. Week was a very familiar idiom at the time for 7 years. We know that in the Bible because they were told to let their fields lay fallow after a week, okay? To let the ground recuperate. So he just said 7 weeks and 62 weeks. So I did the math for you guys. I really did. They know what a week is. 60 is 3 times 20. A score is 20. So 60 and 20, right? Yeah, 62 weeks. So that would be 62. 62 weeks. That's all. That's just weird language. Kind of like when I went to England and they said, every fortnight we have karaoke. And I said, what's a fortnight? And they looked at me funny, of course, made fun of my American accent. I didn't know what that was. And Abraham Lincoln's the one that said, 60 and 7 years, right? This is just old-timey language. A score is, 60 is 3 times 20. So 62, so it's going to be 7 weeks plus 62. Does anybody know what 7 plus 62 is? 69, thank you. So we have 69 weeks mentioned. Guys, I'm almost done with the math portion. 69 times 7, because it'd be 7 years. The Babylonians did not have a 365-day calendar. They have a 360-day calendar. So just trust me. And last year, does anybody remember me doing the math? You remember me showing it to you? That was the most boring thing I've ever done in my life. I listened to it this week, and I was like, I'm not doing that again. You're just going to have to take my word for it. This math adds up to 173,880 days. You ready for this? In the book of Daniel. And you probably all have read the book of Daniel. Gabriel shows up and says, Daniel, hey, once they say the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, and let me tell you something. Ready for this? Alexander, where is this thing? Artaxerxes Longimanus shows up. Ready? On 455 BC, on March 12th, he goes, I'm going to allow the Hebrews to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. The outer walls and stuff like that. Your battery's running low. Is that plugged in? Okay, so it happens. The commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem happens on March 14th, 445 BC. You ready for this? We take all the weeks, 20, 70, blah, blah, blah. We multiply it times to figure out what a week is. We actually work for leap years. We do a 360-day. We get 173,880 days. March 14th, 445 BC, 173,880 days to the dot is when Jesus rode in on Palm Sunday. And I'll tell you what the date was on that. That was April 6th, 32 AD. Do you see what I just said? 173,880 days, if you understood this, Daniel says, in 173,880 days, you'll know who he is because he rides into Jerusalem. That's Palm Sunday, guys. That's to the day Jesus rides in. You wonder why, pay attention, you wonder why every other time they tried to bring him in as king, he says, whoa, my time's not yet come. I mean, even the day before, he didn't say, go get that colt. But on a day in history, he says, today's the day. Hey, guys, go get that colt. Today's the day. Why was today the day? Right? Because the Bible is absolutely flawless. And don't forget what I said at the beginning. They had this for hundreds of years before Jesus came. It's not like, oh, they put that in there after Jesus rode in. They went back and put that. No, they've had this for hundreds of years. Do you understand what I'm saying? Here's the problem. Know, therefore, and understand. They were supposed to know this, and they were actually held accountable for this. We'll get to that in a second. Anybody else kind of feel like it's been sitting there the whole time? That any Hebrew person could have known the day when their Messiah was coming. What does Messiah mean? It means Redeemer. It means the one who's going to connect us back to God. Mashiach is how they say it in Hebrew. And Daniel was sitting on it the whole time. He was told. Now, I'm not going to do the rest of it, but he actually continues to tell the rest of basically the history of the world. He tells them when Jerusalem's going to get rebuilt. He tells them when this and this is going to happen. Go back and do that. He does basically a timeline of the world. And honestly, nails this. I think that's so cool. Restore and rebuild. And it happened. So why am I telling you that? Because this is Palm Sunday. We all just think it was, oh, sweet little babies laying down palms. No, hello. That orchestra had been warming up for hundreds of years, 600 years prior. So what does it really mean? It's bigger than we can actually understand. So on a chosen day, he meticulously, the Lord Jesus, arranges it. And on a particular day, he rides into the holy city, riding on a donkey, deliberately fulfilling a prophecy, not only by Daniel, but by Zechariah. Zechariah said, behold, he'll come to you on the foal of a donkey. Like all these little breadcrumbs. So then it happens. Dun, 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 dun. And he starts riding in. So again, what happens with the crowd? Can we go to, let's just do the slide. I believe the next slide will be, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Okay, so that's Zechariah, who prophesied that he'd ride in on a donkey. I'm putting all these together because I'm going to answer all these questions, okay? Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said, in Luke, teacher, rebuke your disciples. So when he rides in, Mike, they say, people of the crowd, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to the glory in the highest. And something about what they said, guys, made the Pharisees nuts. And they said, Hey. Sternly rebuke your disciples, exclamation point. Get them to shut up. Next slide, please. And Jesus says, okay, you're right. You're right, they shouldn't be. No, he doesn't say that. What he actually says gives us a huge indication how big this moment is. He says, I tell you, now remember, that's always Jesus speak for listen up. If these people keep quiet, my rocks and stones on the ground will cry out. And as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it. That starts another discourse. Let's go back a slide. Now I'm going to start answering questions fast and furious. What is Palm Sunday all about? The thing that they said, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, as he's riding, right? And the reason the Pharisees snap and say, tell them to stop. I'll paraphrase. They're shouting what we're supposed to shout when Messiah comes. Tell them to stop. Everybody knew when Messiah comes, you say, blessed is the king, Nagid, which is also used for Saul, first place in the Bible. Nagid, that's how we know it's king. Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Oh, they said the secret words, the magic phrases, which are supposed to welcome Messiah. And Jesus goes, let me tell you something. If these guys didn't get it, the rocks would praise me as Messiah. Boom, right? And there's a gospel song out there that says, ain't no stone gonna take my place. I'm gonna praise, you know what I'm saying? What was Palm Sunday about? Well, we've done the churchy thing for a lot of years, but we didn't realize that 600 years of buildup to actually revealing who he is. And also, some people in the crowd must have gotten it. Right, guys? Oh, but wait. In the back of our minds, we're realizing that in a week from now, they're gonna scream, crucify him. What happened? Because they're saying, you are the king. You are Messiah. This is Palm Sunday, you guys. So Jesus endorses it. He does not stop them and say, you're right, I'm not. Yes, he has already said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father unless through me. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread that has come down from heaven. I am living water. He said all these things, but if you had not read any of that, they worship him as king and he allows it. Who is Jesus? Some people in your culture will say, he never said he was. You never read the Bible. They just crowned him king of the world, of all creation. And he goes, they're so right that my creation would say it otherwise. Jesus never claimed to be king. Yeah, he did. He just did. Absolutely. So this is, again, guys, this is a huge thing. This is the part of the show where I typically would get really sort of down on the people who said, welcome, king. Here, have my coat, in fact. And then a week later say, crucify him. This is where I would normally get really about them. But then I realize that under the rule of Rome, which they're currently in, 1 in 5 Jewish men were crucified. 1 in 5. The Holocaust took 1 in 3 Jewish people. The Roman occupation took 1 in 5. There's a connection there too, by the way. Genocide of the Jews. Why is it always Jewish people anyway? It's a spiritual thing. I know it is. It's an affront to the Lord our God. Anyway, they were taxed at over 80% taxation. Can you imagine? No, listen. I have moaned. I almost swore. I have not been happy about the taxes, right? But can you imagine 80%? You get a dollar, you keep 20 cents? This is what they were under. And so they're going, come on in, king. Come on in. Come on in. Because lots of people I love are hanging on crosses. Jesus was not the only one crucified. I can't make a living and feed my children. This is awful. So this is what these people are thinking as they see him ride in, right? And Jesus says, essentially, I'm riding in here not to save you from this temporary thing. I'm doing so much more. I'm going to save your spirit. I'm going to give you a safe place, connect you back to God. Righteousness, right? I'm going to do so much more than your temporary need. And they said, that's not what we want. I don't want that Jesus. No. And a week later they cried, crucify him. Let the known political murderer, Barabbas, let him go and kill him. Brutalize Jesus. Now, why? Now, this is not one of those things where I want everybody to weep. Because, again, this is a conquering hero, Jesus is. Let me tell you why. In my opinion, well, who am I? He rode in on a donkey. Let's do the picture. In fact, I want to get you that little baby little picture again, Mike. Okay, so he rode in on a donkey. And you know what? When the people in the crowd saw the donkey, Dana, they probably went, no, 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 get off the donkey, no! You want to know why? He's not the first one to have palms laid down in front of him. Did you know that? Why do people leave that out? This happened all the time, okay? This is not the first time. Jesus was not the only one to have cloaks and palms laid down in front of him. In fact, it was a common practice for an area that had been conquered. When the conquering king or royal family came in, this is what the townspeople did. We're good. Please be nice to us. We're not here to fight. Okay, here's our coats. Here's our palm branches. We welcome your authority. Do you understand that? But what also was common was when that conquering king rode into town, if he rode on a horse, that meant he came in cruelty and for war. That meant that you people with the palm branches are now my slaves or dead. I came and I'm still in the mode of war. But if they rode a servant's animal, that meant I come in peace and I will serve you. Understand? You ever wonder why a donkey? I just told you. And you want to go hyperbolic about it? Hyperbole? A young donkey, the foal of a donkey who's never been ridden. So not just innocent and loving and peaceful, but the king, the utmost peace that can possibly be. The weakest, frailest, newest, freshest donkey. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's sending us a message. In flesh, I, Lord Jesus, this time, I ride into my city, yes, as king, but not as conquering king. I ride in as king of peace. Rewind the tape. 1 in 5 male Jews are being killed. 80% taxation. Children being slaughtered. So they yell to him, get off the donkey. We don't want a king of peace. We want Mashiach Nagid to make war. Hey, wait, you were there, bro. He walked on water, right? Yeah. Well, command that water to flood the Romans out of our society. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is not just a story, you guys. And if you've just looked at Palm Sunday all your life as a story, you've missed a ton of stuff that's for us. Let me tell you something. If somebody takes over the United States of America, and my children don't have a shot at a good life, and 1 in 5 of my friends that are guys are being murdered, first off, I'm going to take up arms. That's what's going to happen. Second off, if I see an opportunity for someone to come along and remove them, I'm on their side. And I will stand behind them. Kill them all. I don't care. If my kids are in danger, and you can judge me all you want, Christian people, if people are coming after my kids, murder, death, kill. That's how that goes. And he can judge me for that. Okay? So they see him riding in, and it's on a donkey. No. We've heard everything. He raised the dead, you guys. But he's riding into Jerusalem in peace? No. Give us Jerusalem back, Mike. This pilot guy and all that. Nuke him. We know you can, Jesus. And so a week later, they said, crucify him. And I am not going to keep us here all day because I'm going to say something like this. Lots of us, because if it was just history, let's go home. It's a nice day out. But lots of us, Jesus rides into our lives, and we do the very same thing. And this is not condemny, condemn them. I don't do that. I believe Palm Sunday, Marie, is a warning. That's what I truly believe it is. That's why, like all of the writers of the Gospels, decided to tell us. Jesus rides into our lives. He rides into Jerusalem as he is and on his terms. And lots of folks that we love, family members, friends, and even parts of ourselves go, not like that, Lord Jesus. You be this over here. I don't want that. Let me tell you my story. I graduated from Norfolk, just right down the road. I love the fact that I get to do this job in my hometown. It's awesome. It's cool. Like, you got to get to know the culture. Yeah, hello. I am the culture. I come from this Petri dish. Funny, culture, Petri dish. Something for the medical community out there. So where was I going with that? Oh, yeah. So 17 years old, someone said to me, he actually said to me, hey, you want to accept Jesus? He didn't know that I had been going on my own little journey of fear and not knowing what's next. And if I'm not sure what happens when I die, guess what? I'm not the type of person who goes, guess we'll wait and see. I'm not that guy. So he told me, he says, Jesus came and for all the things that you've done, he took your punishment. And you can actually take his good behavior for your bad behavior because he loves you so much. Do you want Jesus to save you, bro? Do you want him to be your savior? And I said, absolutely. And I became a Christian that day when I was 17 years old. Nothing else really changed in my life. But I moved and moved and moved and moved and moved. And here's the problem. AJ then decided to build a Jesus that I liked. So Jesus wrote into my life as he is. And I went, nope. I'll take the Jesus that keeps me healthy, that always pays my bills, that keeps my girlfriend from breaking up with me, that overlooks all the stuff I'm doing that's wrecking my own life. 17-year-old dummy. That's the Jesus I want. That one right there. Here's the problem. When we construct a Jesus, or even the people in Israel, when they watched him walking in and he wasn't what they wanted or thought they needed, you then reject the real Jesus Christ. And you miss out on the greatest thing in creation, Creator God, right? So that happened to me. When all of a sudden the bottom did fall out, I was broke, unhealthy, and she did break up with me, this Jesus that I had constructed crumbled. I could lean nothing against it because it wasn't real. Now, meanwhile, behind that, I started to learn about the real Jesus, who says, in this life, you will have soul-wrenching calamity, is what that word translates from Greek. In this life, Marie, there's going to be days when you can't breathe. There's going to be days where you don't want to get out of bed. Anybody? Yeah. But fear not. Guys, don't be afraid. I've overcome all of that. I've overcome the world. That's the Jesus that we're talking about, who rides in on the donkey. Life is going to suck sometimes. And you're going to wonder how you're going to catch another breath. But guys, I've got it under control. Fear not, I've overcome the world. That's the Jesus that rides into Jerusalem. So even though Rome is oppressing you, even though you've got the broken foot, let's say, I know it was your foot. Even though you're going through this, going down to the unknown, Jesus goes, I've got that. Let's see the world the way it truly is. Yes, I understand you're hurt, you're wounded, and all, but I've got that. That's who I am riding into your life. I'm not going to deflect everything. Bill and Donna, the car crossed the line, didn't it? Smashed into you. And you could say, Jesus, you were supposed to stop that car from, I don't want you, Jesus. Crucify him. You could have done that. But instead you say, as you are, okay. As you are, Lord Jesus. What ends up happening? Let's fast forward the story. He rides into Jerusalem, the most powerful. You can't even say that. You can't even say he's the most powerful because he created even power. He rides in. He allows himself to be bruised for our inequities. It takes away our inward sins, like our thought life, and in inward sins, and wounded for our transgressions. And he does what is absolutely necessary. God himself takes the death penalty so that we can link arms with him and become his family. That's what he does. He lays down his life. That's what happens. These people cry, crucify him. It happens. Then he rises again and goes, told you, I was doing what you really needed. And all this is temporary. Let's look at the book of Ecclesiastes in our minds. Fleeting, it's all fleeting. Some Bibles say meaningless. And I don't agree with that translation because the word is chavel. Dana, you ever read Ecclesiastes? Fleeting, right? Meaningless. It's all meaningless. No, the word there is chavel. It's mist, vapor. Do you remember, Mom, when I actually sprayed it? And I said, how would you characterize that word? And you said, fleeting, like it's there and then it disappears, right? Life is so temporary, you guys. I mean, sometimes it drags on forever. I understand that. But we get this much time to play in the sand and enjoy this gift. And then it's eternity. And Jesus goes, I get it. I know Rome is oppressing you. But if I hadn't to take care of eternity, there was no good coming after all of that. And that was the main thing. And we understand that. We do as Christians. But these people on Palm Sunday, they didn't. And sometimes, guys, let me turn up the heat for a minute. Sometimes he rides into our lives, and again, we want to welcome him on our terms. We construct his faith system. He never, orchestrated. And then we become disillusioned when it didn't work. If Jesus is real, then why did this happen or that happen? That's what some people say nowadays. If God is real, then why did this happen or that happen? Is that not the same thing? I want a God who heals everybody when we ask. I want a God who never lets bad things happen. Everyone lives forever. I want a God who keeps your free will from hurting me, but darn it, I want my own free will. Amen? Make everybody else around me puppets so they don't hurt me, but don't control me, God. That's what we want. And when it doesn't happen, we say, crucify him. I have no use for him. We want a God that pays all our bills, stabilizes our moods, covers up all my decisions, balances my checkbook, and when it doesn't happen, sometimes we let it go. We don't want a God who messes up our dating lives, our sex lives, the way we spend money, the way we run our marriage. Well, you hearing that? The steak's starting to sizzle. When he rides in, he doesn't say, I want to live in the front room of your life, and I'll just stay here. We talked about that last week, didn't we? The front room where the plastic is still on the furniture and everything looks real good, right? You want them to think the rest of the house looks that way, but it don't. That's what we want. We want Jesus to ride in and go, okay, you're good. Stay right there. Don't see my shame, my fear, my guilt, my addictions, my depression, my lack of forgiveness. Don't come in these rooms, Jesus. And when he rides into our lives and we don't like what we get, we say, done. And I wish I could tell you, I get it. You know, very few of you out in the audience have the same perspective I have. I'm the only one looking this way. And I have been for 7 years now. And I wish I could tell you how many folks I've seen and then they're gone. And I don't care that they're not attending this church. You know me well enough to know that. I'm about the kingdom. You know what I'm saying? But I'm here and then something comes along and he's not the way you want him to be. So I'm out. I'm done. Mom, Aunt Betty's gone. But people can still, God can get glory and people can learn from her story. My Aunt Betty, we're wrapping up soon. Stay with me. My Aunt Betty, God bless her. She was actually my great aunt. But she was a little younger and she's cool, so she's Aunt Betty. She used to attend this church, guys. She passed away in the summer-ish, early summer. We had her funeral here. Let me tell you the story of Aunt Betty, because it's a story of Palm Sunday. When Aunt Betty was young, tragedy hit her life. Bang, 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 bang. Lots of folks, including her favorite sibling, her brother, Bill. And she concluded, as he rode into her life, no, not like this. Not a God who would let my brother die that way. Or my dad, or my aunt, or my uncle. Not a God who would let that innocent child. Understand, guys? I'm not being mean. I'm not. I'm telling you truth. And so Aunt Betty said, no, I'm out, and sat down. On the path of her life, she sat down. I'm not going to walk with you, Lord Jesus. 40 years later, Mom and I are praying, right? Consistently praying for our family because we got to know him as he rode into our lives. 40 years later, I see her walking down the hall, down the aisle at Stonegate Community Church, the church I used to pastor in Potsdam. And she took a seat. And this time she said, okay, Jesus, 40 years I've said no. Yeah, right into my life as you truly are. And she was so comforted by him during her cancer thing and this and that, right? It was a different Aunt Betty. She started to lean her life against him piece by piece by piece, just in time for her to graduate and go to heaven. How good is God? How faithful is God? But how tragic is that story, guys? And Aunt Betty, you could see it in her eyes. You could see, like, this is such a part of me now. Like, I love this. And the singing, remember? You never thought Aunt Betty would sing. But there she is, singing her little heart out. And she was all of 5 foot nothing around that time, right? Just singing her heart out toward this God that she had walked away from because he came in a different way than she wanted. What's Palm Sunday? Well, it sure as heck isn't some fresco on a wall. This is the day that Jesus revealed who he truly is and challenges us and says, I'm here, I'm me, on my terms, or no. Right? It sounds harsh, but wait, what did he actually say? I came that you would have life and life to the fullest. I will never leave you or forsake you. These are things Jesus says. Right? I'll be with you always to the end of the age. In your hurt, in your heartache, in your struggles, in your doubts, in your fears, I'm there with you. I'm right here. I'm actually near to those who call upon me. These are the promises. That's who he's riding in to be. Do we understand that? God doesn't always get us around troubles, guys. He promises to go with us through them. And not only that, but he promises that what it does inside of us, it's going to work something amazing for his glory and our own good in that suffering. And that's what he was doing when he rode in to Jerusalem. Daniel saw it. They had the forecast. All the players were there, guys. And some people got it because they said the right thing. One last thing I want to say about Palm Sunday. Because if you see things that are weird in the Bible, look it up. There's awesome stuff in there. Why was the colt tied there? Anybody asked was this poor colt tied day after day after day after day? Like, this colt's existence was just in case Messiah is going to need him this year? Guys, you ever wonder that? This is just for those nerdy people like Dave and I, who apparently look alike today. Okay, so guys, remember when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den? I'm going to go fast. Why was he thrown in the lion's den? Because the Magi, the wise people, he was appointed ruler of them all. Daniel was appointed ruler of the Magi. Daniel was appointed ruler of the Magi. Who was looking for Jesus in the manger? Come on, the wise people. Why were a bunch of Assyrians looking for a Hebrew king? Unless Daniel had told them. I believe that down through the ages, Daniel had told the Assyrians, Daniel had known what day it was going to be, and told them, when someone comes up to you and says these magic words, the Lord needs them, then you'll know. And I believe whatever family, whatever group had that cult knew that that was the day. Because Jesus actually said, not Jesus, but I'm sorry, Gabriel speaks for the Father and says, know and understand. There's things we need. That's why the cult was sitting there and ready for him. Some people did get it and understand. Neat, right? If ever you see something in the Bible you don't understand, there's something in it for you. Just track it down. So the last thing I'll say, is I believe that not only is Palm Sunday a warning, but I believe it's also a promise. And let's wrap up by saying this. We're going to sing Shout to the Lord. We're going to say, my Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there's none like you. We're going to be those people on Palm Sunday that say, as you are, we accept you and receive you, no matter what happens this next week. Okay? But Palm Sunday is also a promise. You ready? You ready for this? Do I have any revelation? I didn't think so. He rode in as the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, the first time. But it's a promise that he will come back again, and there ain't going to be no donkey, y'all. In fact, it's a white horse in the sky with an army behind him of heaven. And he's going to shut this sick and dying and on fire world down. And those he calls son, daughter, baby boy, baby girl, us, we get to live with him forever. Because our Mashiach Nagid comes as a conquering king next time. The first time he came as the Prince of Peace, that's done with. When he comes again, it's over. In a word, metaphorically, a sword that comes out of his mouth. Jesus shuts it down and rebuilds this place for us. And there's not going to be any more cars that cross the line. There's not going to be any more young people with brain cancer. There's not going to be any more people who said, yeah, I'll keep my vows to you, and then I don't feel like it anymore. It's not going to happen, guys. It's not going to be more accidents, aches, pains. No. We follow him as he truly is, and we get to be with him in paradise for the rest of it, for eternity. He will ride back as a conquering king. Amen? So let's worship for this. Let's sing, my Jesus, my Savior, guys. Let's press in on this.